take your Bibles tonight, chapter 8 of Luke. We start in verse 26 tonight. If you remember last week, we were with Jesus and the disciples on the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of the storm, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship. The disciples, even though some of them were experienced fishermen, were fearful that the boat was going to sink because of the waves were so high and the boat was filling with water. They went back and woke up their captain, their master. They woke up Jesus. Jesus stood up, rebuked the waves and the wind. There was a great peace, the Bible says, and he rebuked not only the storm, but he rebuked the disciples. He says, "Where's your faith? Why were you afraid?" They marveled at what he could do, that even the wind and the waves obeyed him. So we read in verse 26, where they came across that sea, it says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. So on the opposite side. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. So he was possessed of demons for a long time. The time period's not specified, but it was a while. And wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. I'm going to talk about, as part of the Bible study tonight, I'm going to talk about four things the devil does. And it's appropriate because this is the time of year when he does it to people. One of the things that the devil does, and this man was full of demons, but one of the things the devil does is lead people to take their clothes off and show parts of their body that should not be shown. And we're approaching summer, not officially on the calendar yet, but it'll be here in 3 weeks or so. But this is the time of year that people bear more of themselves than they should. Now, we as Christians ought to dress modestly, even though it's hot. Even though we may be tempted to take look more like the world than we should, we need to be modest in our dress. Nakedness comes from Satan. You stop and think about it. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain getting the instructions for the tabernacle, getting the Ten Commandments? You remember Aaron built a golden calf and he had the people worship it? You remember what the Bible says in the book of Exodus? When Moses came down, the people were dancing around the calf, the golden calf, naked. Anytime people turn away from God and turn to the devil, one of the things the devil does is take their clothes off. So I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but even we need to be reminded that we always need to be modest in how we look. We need to look different than the world does. And he was not living in any house, so he was full of demons, and so he lived in the cemetery. He lived among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, I don't know if this man had any prior experience with Christ, but the devils know who Jesus is. The demons that were possessing him. And even the Bible says Satan knows who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. They know that he is the Son of God, Most High. And so when Jesus approached this man that they possessed, the devils used that man's voice and his tongue and his lips to confess. Even though it was in the form of a question, they were confessing that they knew who he was, and they asked the question, "What have we have to do with you? Why are you here? Are you here to torment us?" Now, we see in the next verse, verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man." Jesus had already issued the command to the demons that possessed him to come out, and they ask him, "Why? What are you doing here? Why have you come to cast us out? Have you come to torment us?" Notice what it says. "For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And so when he was calm, they would bind him with ropes and chains and shackles and different things. But when the demons took over again, so to speak, he broke those chains, he broke those fetters, he broke those ropes, and was driven into the wilderness. Another thing the devil does to us is that the devil causes us to lose our restraint. The devil causes us to forget, overlook, put aside the things that stop us from doing wrong. Now, you know, there may be some Christians that say, well, I'm never tempted to do wrong. I have a hard time believing that. I think every Christian is tempted to do wrong. I think every Christian is tempted of the devil. He's lost your soul. He wants to mess up your testimony. And the best way he can mess up your testimony is to get you to sin. And one of the ways he does that is he tries to remove the restraints that we have in our life, that the Holy Spirit has put in our life, that God has put in our life, to set those restraints aside and to do anything we want. I mean, you've heard teenagers say, as I've heard them say, well, everybody else is doing it, why shouldn't I? I think I might have said that once or twice when I was a teenager. If my dad or mom was here, they'd probably testify that I might have said that once or twice or more when I was a teenager. But that's one of the ways that the devil tries to get us to take our restraints off. We see other people doing it. We see other good people doing it. And it looks like it's fun to do, or it looks like it brings pleasure to do it. And if we're not careful, Satan will help us and entice us to throw the constraints off and drive us into the wilderness, a place that we should not be. And so we need to be careful. And Jesus, verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" Now, again, I believe he was talking to the man. I believe he was talking to the man that was possessed by the demons. But it was the demons that answered him. And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Now again, the Bible doesn't tell us how many. A Roman legion consisted of 6,000 men. Now I don't know if there were 6,000 devils in this guy. I think there was a lot. In a minute, we're going to read about a herd of pigs that numbered 2,000, and Jesus let the devils go out of the man into the pigs. And so if there were one devil per pig, there were, and they all ran over the cliff and drowned themselves. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if there was one devil per pig, there was at least 2,000 demons that possessed this man. And so just imagine. I mean, it would be bad enough. We've read of cases in the Bible where one demon Jesus cast out. One demon possessed a person. Can you imagine what it must have been like for 2,000 demons, if there were that many? And again, we don't know the number, but there was many that possessed this man. And they, the demons, besought him. They kept asking him. That word, that besought, is in the linear tense. They kept asking him over and over and over that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, that word deep, another way that is translated into English is abyss. It means a place where there is no bottom, a bottomless pit. I don't think he's talking about hell. I think it would have said hell. The Bible would have said hell if it meant hell. I think it was a place that demons existed, a place off this earth in the bottomless pit. And I know you might want to ask me all sorts of questions. Well, if you think if they would have went to the abyss, do they ever come out of there? I don't know. I don't know. But it was a place they did not want to go. And so they asked Christ, please don't send us into the deep. Please don't send us into this abyss. And notice verse 32. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they, the demons, besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And so the demon says, hey, here's a herd of pigs. Instead of sending us into the deep, would you let us go and possess or go into those swine? And Jesus said, okay, you can go into the swine. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. In other words, they drowned. They died. Now let me just stop and tell you a couple other things that the devil takes away from us. He tries to take away from us. This herd of pigs, before the devils entered into them, was peacefully on this mountain, and every one of them was okay. I mean, they were mild, peaceful, however peaceful a herd of pigs can be. I mean, I've only been around a herd of pigs one time. My wife's uncle had a pig farm. And I can remember, even before we were married, we took a trip with her mom and dad, and we stopped and visited their uncle, or her uncle, my mother-in-law's brother. And he knew I was a city boy. He knew I wasn't used to farms or animals or anything like that. And so, you know, I wanted to make a good impression on my girlfriend's family. And so he asked me, we got there that afternoon, and after dinner that night, he says, well, have you ever been around pigs before? I said, no, I haven't. He said, would you like to help me feed them in the morning? I said, oh, I'd be happy to help you feed them in the morning. He said, good, we're going to get up at 4 o'clock, and we're going to feed the pigs. I said, okay. And so I get up at 4 o'clock. I had a brand new pair of white tennis shoes on. He looked at me and just shook his head, didn't say a word, didn't offer me a pair of boots or nothing. He said, come on, let's go. And so we went out to the sty. I have never been in such a dirty, filthy, stinking place. I mean, and I don't know how many pigs he had. There was a bunch of them. And even at 4 o'clock in the morning, they were rolling around. They were snorting. They were mud bathing. And, you know, I read about and see ladies taking mud baths. I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. It sure doesn't help a pig very much. But anyhow, they were rolling around and they were snorting, and we got to slop. And I mean, it was slop. It was leftovers from dinner the night before, and I don't know what else was mixed in it. I'm sure there was some kind of good stuff in there. But he said, okay, come on, just keep dipping it out of this container, take it out there and throw it in the trough. And so I would make trips between the container where the slop was and the trough, and the pigs were very friendly, you know, they'd rub against my legs. That's probably why I hate cats so much. Reminds me of those pigs. And by the time I got done, I was caked from my thighs down with stinky mud. I had to throw my tennis shoes away. I had to go take a shower. He said, you're not going in my house looking like that. There's a hose around back. You can go and you can rinse yourself off. And it was cold, cold well water. What point was I making when I started off? Oh, yeah. So before the devils went into the pigs, they were peaceful on the mountainside, eating. And when the devils went into them, they lost their peace. Notice what they said. The herd ran violently. One of the things that the devil would like to rob us of is our peace. Our peace. Now, as a Christian, he can't rob us of our peace with God. When we received Christ, we made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing Satan can do to take that away from us. We are bound in the hand of Christ. We are bound in the hand of God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he can't take the peace we have with God, but he can sure try to take away the peace that God wants us to have. He can get us worrying about stuff. He can get us fretting about stuff. And if we're not careful, we will forget whose we are. We will forget the peace that God promises us. By the way, when God promises us peace, he never promises that all the circumstances in our life are always going to be good. But what he promises us is when those bad circumstances come, he'll be there with us. And I don't know about you, I'd rather be with Jesus in the middle of the storm than I would on a peaceful sea without him. I'd rather be with my Savior when the sea is rough than I would without him, without any problems. And that's the kind of peace that he gives us. He gives us a peace that passeth understanding, a peace that the world, that non-Christians cannot understand. And we as Christians ought to guard ourselves and never let Satan tempt us to lose the peace that we have, not only in Christ, but with Christ in our life. He will give us that peace if we let him. And then the last thing that Satan wants to take from us, and then we'll finish up what we want to get done tonight. He wants to take our life. These pigs ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. They were drowned. Satan wants to take our life. If he can, he wants to take our spiritual life. He'll do everything he can to keep a person from getting saved. He'll do everything that he can to keep a person from coming to Christ. He'll put up roadblock after roadblock. He'll put up reason after reason. If he can't reason a person out of it, he'll try to delay a person from doing it and say, well, you can do it next time or you can do it later. And that's the way Satan works. Just like God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Satan's verse is he wants everybody to perish and nobody come to repentance. Now, there's not a verse like that in the Bible. I'm just saying Satan is the direct opposite of what God wants. God wants everybody to be saved. Satan wants everybody to be lost. And he'll try to rob people of the life that God wants them to have in Christ by keeping them away from the Savior. And then, as a Christian, he'll try to rob us of the abundant life that we can have in Christ. He'll try to rob us of the things that God wants us to enjoy and not have that abundant life that Christ promised us. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so that verse says that we need to be vigilant, we need to beware, because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour not only the lost, but he wants to devour Christians. Again, can't rob us of our salvation, but can rob us of our peace, rob us of the abundant life that we can have. So here's the picture. This man was possessed by many demons. Jesus came to him and gave him the command to leave. They begged him, don't send us out to this abyss. Hey, let us go into these swine. He gave them permission to go into the swine. The swine lost their peace. They ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. They were drowned. I've often tried to imagine what 2,000 drowned pigs look like. Can you imagine? Does anybody know, does pigs float? I would think they'd float, but I don't know. I was talking to a couple in our church, and the man told me, he said, you know, well, pigs can't swim, and a lot of times when they get in water over their head, they actually cut their throat with their front paws. Their hoofs are so sharp that in thrashing around, they'll actually cut their throat. And so I asked him, I said, well, would you eat a drowned pig? I mean, if a pig drowned, would you eat it? And he said, well, if I could get to it quick enough, I wouldn't want to eat it if it had been in the water, you know, for a prolonged period of time with the bacteria building up. But I guess drowning a pig is not any different than shooting him between the eyes with a gun. And so if you could get a dead pig before, you know, it spent much time in the water, you could have some good barbecue. And there would have been a lot of barbecue available that day. And by the way, this took place in the Gentile country. That's why there were pigs there. No respecting Jew, of course, would eat swine. That was against their dietary law. But I always try to picture in my mind, and I know some of you do the same thing. When you read these stories, I just try to picture what it must have looked like to stand there that day beside the lake and see all these pigs running down this steep place and drowning in this lake. And then if they float, I mean, 2,000 pigs floating in the lake. I mean, what a sight. Now look at verse 34. And they that fed them, so those that were taking care of the herd, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. I think they told it as they went to the city. I think they told everybody they met. Hey, you never believe what just happened. We were down there watching this herd of pigs. This guy came, and you remember this guy that lived in the cemetery that was running around wild and naked all the time? Well, this man that we saw cast the devil out of him, and the devil went into the pigs, and all the pigs, every single one of them, all 2,000 of them, ran off the cliff and drowned in the sea. What a story. I mean, it spread like wildfire. Everybody heard what Jesus had done to this man. Verse 35, then they that heard the story went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, before they were afraid of this wild man. I mean, they chained him up when they could. They didn't want anything to do with him. Now they came out and saw the wild man clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid of the power that caused the change in that man. Again, most of these were probably Gentiles. Maybe they had not heard about Christ. Maybe this was their first encounter with Christ. And when they saw the power of Christ and how he changed this man, they were afraid. They also, verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And again, they told the story. This is the guy that did it, pointing to Jesus. He's the one that healed them. He's the one that cast the devils out of this guy here and told them it was okay to go to the pigs. He's the guy that did it. Verse 37, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes. Now again, the whole multitude, everybody that heard the story, everybody that came to see what was going on round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. I don't know about you, but if Jesus had done that, I'd want him to stay. I'd want to see more. But these people were afraid. And they said, you got to leave. You just got to leave our country. Jesus didn't fight him. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. What an opportunity these people missed. Jesus had worked a mighty miracle. They knew it was a miracle. They knew it had to be the power of God. They knew that no man could cast that many devils out of a man and instantaneously have him in his right mind, clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, when he'd have been a wild man that was able to break fetters and chains and ropes, ran around naked in the cemetery. They knew it had to be a miracle of God. And instead of asking God to stay and to teach them and to show them more, they said, you got to leave. Would you please leave? Again, it just shows that Jesus forced himself. He never has and never will force himself on any person. He makes his salvation available. He makes himself available to every person. But he never forces himself on anybody. He always patiently knocks, waits for us to open the door and invite him to come in. And when we do, he'll come in. He'll never force the door open. He'll never force his way into anybody's life, just like the Holy Spirit won't. You're saved. You got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you got saved. The Holy Spirit never forces his way into any area of our life. He always waits for us to open the areas of our life and say, come in. Take charge of this part. Take charge of this part. Take charge of this part. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him. And again, the same word besought, kept asking him, that he might be with him. He kept asking, can I go with you? You've changed my life. we talk Sunday about the change that Jesus makes in a person's life. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Man, this guy could sing that song probably better than any of us could. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. He says, I'd like to go with you. I'd like to be one of your disciples. I'd like to just give me anything I can do, anything you want me to do. I'll be glad to do it. Just let me go with you. And Jesus said, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Jesus said, I don't want you to go with me, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home. He hadn't been home. Don't know if he had a family. I know he had a mom and dad. Don't know if he was married. Don't know if he had any kids, but he had a mom and dad. He said, I want you to go back home. And I want you to tell them at home how great things God has done for you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. What a testimony. Can you just imagine it in your mind? I was a maniac. I was possessed of demons. I didn't wear any clothes. I lived in the cemetery. When people shackled me, I had so much power, tore the chains apart. I was not in my right mind. But one day, I met the Master. One day, I met the Savior. One day, I met the Christ. And he did some great things for me. He cast out the demons, gave me my right mind back. And I would just remind you tonight, we may not have been possessed by many, many demons. We may not have lived naked in the tombs. We may not have been bound and broke those chains. But I want to tell you tonight what Jesus did in our life when he saved us is just as great as what he did for this man that was possessed by the demons. Just as great. And the same instruction that Jesus gave to him, he gives to us. He says, I want you to tell people the great things that God has done for you. Each one of us have a different testimony. Each one of us have a different background from which we've come. But each one of us can say, truthfully, God has done some great things for me. Let me tell you about it. And we need to share our testimony of the great things that God has done for us. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.